With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. On Book Spectrum, we don't focus specifically on certain genres and not only on fact or fiction. We introduce our listeners to tomes from people of various backgrounds spanning a variety of subjects all over the, as we say, spectrum. Have you ever wondered how the great writers were able to come up with their titles? Have you thought, what if this movie or book had a different title? Or why did she or he choose this as a title? I talk with a lot of authors on Book Spectrum, and today let's look at a book designed for authors. One that's also going to be interesting to everyone who's curious. Authors can take months, even years, to write a book, but the few words on the front make all the difference between a bunch of sales and perhaps a bestseller. With me is a longtime book publicity pro, Scott Lorenz. He's the founder of Westwind Communications and the creator of the definitive book on this subject, Book Title Generator, A Proven System in Naming Your Book. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Scott.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. First, before we get into the book, you've been a book publicist for quite a long time. How did you get involved in the business?
I've been a publicist, book publicist for about 25 years, and even before I got into this business on a regular basis, I actually promoted a book when I was in college called Howard Hughes, The Hidden Years, and I was asked by a TV reporter, a TV talk show host who had seen me on his show a number of times and thought, my God, this guy knows what he's doing. Can you help me promote my client's book? And his book was written by one of the aides to Howard Hughes back in the day. That's how we found out about how Howard Hughes had these issues with, basically it's Alzheimer's disease. But the point is, though, is that that was my first book back way back in college.
And it had a good title, too.
It did, because he was a mystery man. No one knew much about him, and finally one of his aides broke silence and divulged what was happening to the man. So anyway, but I've been involved with it for quite a long time, and I enjoy it. I enjoy meeting authors. I enjoy talking to authors. I enjoy promoting my authors. So it's my perfect field, frankly.
What inspired you to write this book, this one, just for authors?
What inspired me to write this book for authors is the fact that there are so many different ways you can approach titling a book. And it is one thing that is, irregardless of what you put in it, you've got to get the title right. And if you mistitle a book, you can end up with a problem. And people won't find your book. So your book's got to be discoverable. People have got to be able to find it. Now, 30 years ago, it was, word of mouth, newspaper ads, stuff like that. You could have some off-the-wall title, and people would say, oh, did you hear about this, such and such book. Now, people are looking for books online. They're looking for a type of genre, specific genre, romance, business, fiction, whatever, because that's what they like to read. That's what they want. So people are looking for things differently. So if you don't position your book to be found, it won't be found, I can assure you. The other thing is that with Amazon, with the ease of publishing now, you don't have to go through, it's not just the publishing houses that publish books. It's you could publish a book directly onto Amazon right now. But if for that book to be found, you've got to be clever, and you've got to be able to have it found through keyword searching. And you've got to set your book up for success. And that is done in great part with the title, subtitle, keywords, and so forth.
That's important. I'm a producer, too. I've done this for a long time. Sometimes I'll troll Amazon or troll some of the book sites to see who is doing what new things are happening, what new books are coming. Some are easier to find than others, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. And most people, whether they admit it or not, follow a very, very predictable pattern. If you're a romance reader, as a individual, if you read romance books, you want to read one after the other. That's what they do. And I'm a business book guy. I love to read books about marketing and business, and I devour those things. I'm constantly looking for those, the latest and the greatest. you know, insight into how to be a better entrepreneur, a better marketing person, better publicist. And if you're really into your craft, which, you know, high-level people are, they like to actually read books about how to become better at what they do. So people, again, are predictable. They will follow. They follow their likes. In my particular business, I read all kinds of genres I would never read otherwise. I mean, everything from erotica to poetry to other things that I'm not necessarily interested in, but I can market. So it's been enlightening for me to be in this business, I have to say.
Scott Lorenz is with me on Book Spectrum. He's a PR pro and author of the book, Book Title Generator, A Proven System in Naming Your Book. I'm a longtime radio producer. I get tons of pitches from publicists and authors. Not only does a catchy pitch headline get me to open the mail up, but a good title makes me curious about someone's book and, of course, makes me know that it's identifiable to the audience.
Right. If you've got a 15-word title, you've not thought out your title properly, okay? You've got to have a title that catches attention and that tells people what the genre is that you're in. Okay, it's that simple. And and the bonus, if it actually is a search term that people are looking for online, okay, or on Amazon, Google, Bing, any of the search engines, okay? So it's too long of a title is poorly written, and it's too short, it doesn't tell you what it is. Very rarely does a one-word title tell you what it is, unless it's written by a celebrity, in which case you can title it anything you want because the people are buying the book because you're a celebrity. So, but for most of us, earthlings...
It was a one-word title, though.
Yeah, well, Christine. I mean, there are some people that can write a one-word title and have it sell, but it's their celebrity that sells it, not so much the one word.
Scott, people generally see 1 to 5 words in a title. Those can be more agonizing to produce properly than a chapter of a thrilling novel at times. Why is that?
Well, because you actually have to think through the process. Mark Twain once wrote a letter, a very long letter, to his associate, and he says he apologized at the end. He said, I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time. And this is the problem. It takes a lot more time to come up with a short letter, a short response, and a short title. That's why I say a 15-word title is not properly titled. It's not properly thought through at all.
This is why newspapers hire people to specialize in writing headlines.
Well, yeah, the headline writers are critical. In fact, reporters will often turn the story in into a newspaper, and then they have a suggested headline that they tag onto it. But the copy editor, the editor, is the one who slaps a headline on it. And there'll be times, I remember back in the day when newspapers really were prominent, more prominent than they are today, I recall contacting an editor. I say, how did you guys pick that headline for an article that was about this, and your headline says it was about that? And the reporter says, hey, I don't write the headlines. It was that simple. So in this world today, everybody has to do everything for themselves, from pumping the gas to publishing your own book. You've got to write your own headline, and you've got to write a great title. You've got to come up with a title, and that's why I wrote the book, Book Title Generator. And if you go to booktitlegenerator.net, it'll redirect you right to my page on Amazon, and you can read about why everybody thinks it's a great book and why you might like to have it if you're writing a book. If you're not writing a book, don't waste your time. It's not going to help you. Now, it might help somebody who's writing an article or writing a blog post. I guarantee it will help somebody who's writing a blog post or an article, or even titling an album, okay, because this discoverability is the same as far as for the most part. I mean, people aren't going on to, they're using every search engine possible, and from YouTube, Amazon, Google, Bing, you name it. So it has some of the same elements that would help anybody who's writing a headline, for sure.
Scott Lorenz is with me on Book Spectrum. His book is Book Title Generator, A Proven System in Naming Your Book. Let's put it this way. It's about eyeballs. It's about getting people to want to buy the book, and people buy emotionally. They really do judge a book by its cover, don't they?
Yes, they do. And people are... James Patterson had a great quote, and I used it at the beginning of the book. If there's anybody who knows how to sell a book, I'd say James Patterson does. He sold a few hundred million copies.
A couple, yeah.
So here's what James Patterson says. no book has ever been bought that wasn't picked up, and to some extent, what makes you pick it up is the cover. It needs to immediately tell the people that's the genre they love. James Patterson, best-selling author. Now, that tells you everything, okay? It tells you, and so it's beyond the title. In his case, he's talking about even the look of the book, the artwork, the design. I get into that a little bit in the book, and that's a separate issue as well. But the design of the cover, you can have a great title, but if it's a bad cover design, you know, who cares? You know, your thumbnail's got to be good. If you go to my Amazon page, you'll see the thumbnail for Book Title Generator is pretty big. You can see that from 10 feet away from your computer screen. And that's what it needs to be, because that's how people are looking for books. I mean, sure, people go to Barnes & Noble. They go to their local independent bookstore, Books A Million. They're, you know, people love shopping and for books. I love shopping for books. But with the COVID virus thing and the quarantine, it's hard to shop in a bookstore these days because they're closed. But you can shop all day long on online. And so that thumbnail is really, really important. And if you have a good title but a lousy design, poorly designed cover, that where that thumbnail doesn't pop, what's the point? Okay, so you've really, you've got to, you know, you've got to make all these things work together in harmony.
Scott, you're a publicist and you see a lot of books across your desk. Some have great titles, some have titles that could use a little bit of work. What are some common mistakes new authors and sometimes even established writers have made when trying to come up with a title?
Well, some of the biggest mistakes are, as we mentioned already, a 15-word title, which is, you know, not telling people the genre or what the book is about. The title's got to tell people what the book is about, and that's it takes time to actually do that. One of the other things is they come up with some esoteric thing that's not related to the book itself. We retitled a book that was published a few years earlier, and it was about type 2 diabetes. And the first title, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, hey, we can't even use that title. We have to get a new cover, and you're going to get a new title. I mean, I wouldn't let them go any further because it was just not right. I forgot what it was called before, but it's just not, it wasn't right. The content was great. The gentleman had type 2 diabetes. He was a physician's assistant. He knew what he was talking about, and he had the personal information about the disease, and he could help people, you know, help advise them. So we came up with a new title. It was called the Type 2 Diabetes Handbook, or it was something like that, or something very close to that. It was a few years ago. But the point is that it really told people, oh, it's type 2 diabetes, and it's the handbook for that, for the disease. Perfect. I mean, it told them exactly what it was, okay? So that was important in the rebranding of the book. So we'll do that with clients' books. If they've got one that's out a few years earlier and it needs freshening up, oftentimes the content is fine, but the cover and the title are no good, and we got to change it. So we'll do that in concert with the client.
One thing I believe might be a mistake is not coming up with a bunch of ideas and then narrowing them down and throwing them around to people.
Right. It's important to have, I believe, a collaborative approach to titling a book. I bring in, when I help a client title their book, I bring some of the writers that have actually read the book. I bring in people that might have some insight into that space, and we'll do a conference call, and then we'll kick it around. And then while somebody's searching online to see, hey, is that title taken? Because you don't want to come up with a book where the title is taken, even though it's legal to do that. I mean, I could name a book Gone with the Wind tomorrow, but that's not really a good idea. The title is taken, obviously, but still it's not a good idea because it already has a whole different meaning. But somebody could do that, all right, because titles aren't copyrighted. You can't protect them.
Well, it could be a book about a hurricane, right?
Yeah, it could be, yeah, for sure. But the point is that you want to make sure the book is, the title is not taken. You want to make sure that you can get the domain name, like booktitlegenerator.net. Hey, that goes, I had that redirected to my Amazon page, okay? And I've got booktitlegenerator.org, which is directed to the same page, but it will be changed to my landing page, okay? So the fact of the matter is I actually control those two domains. So the other name, the most obvious name, is not available, it's okay. I'm going to make my name more prominent anyway. So those are important things to take into consideration when you're titling a book. If it's a book about a how-to, or it's a book about instruction, if it's a novel, you know, about Irish history or something, it may not be as important. And sometimes if a domain is taken, you could always add the word book behind it. So it's like xyz.book or book.com, which I recommend to clients. But anyway, it's always good to have a collaborative approach and then sleep on it. Don't ever like come up with the names and then say, okay, that's it. You know, sleep on it, look at it, think about it, get some feedback from people. Now, people that actually have a clue, not people that just, you know, show up at your dinner table every night or maybe, No, what I mean is people that actually are in the publishing.
I do want to stop right there because sometimes it's the layman. These are the people you're selling the book to. Sometimes
if
they're
you're selling a book to layman. Great. Talk to layman. But if you're selling to you know, people in the business world, you need to have a business related title. If you're selling to people, if you have a romance book, you're selling to romance authors, romance readers, then have a title that romance readers would be interested in. You got to talk to romance readers. Okay. Some authors, like Janet Ivanovich, have contests amongst her readers. They say, I'll let you name my next book. And it's a contest. Whoever names it wins, you know, something, you know, autographed copy and a trip for two to Hawaii or whatever. So she had a contest. My wife entered it. It was pretty cool. And her books all have numbers in the titles. And that's one of the things I recommend in my book, put a number in your title. And so she would, at the time, it was up to 16-something. So, you know, 16 Candles was, I think, one of the winners or whatever. But the point is that people her readers got an ability to name a book, and they thought they got a big thrill out of that. Now, if you got a following, you could do that. If this is your first book, no one knows who you are, they don't, you know, you're not going to have a following. So your following are your people, your friends, your family, your people who actually might know something about the genre you're writing about.
Scott Lorenz is with me on Book Spectrum. He's the founder of Westwind Communications, a longtime book publicist, and the writer of Book Title Generator, a proven system in naming your book. In your book, you discuss the anatomy of a good title, but getting the right one together does include variables, if you will, as per who the target audience is going to be. What are a few things an author must keep in mind when looking for the perfect title for certain genres? I'm going to throw a couple around to you. You can add some more if you'd like. Maybe a mystery, a nonfiction Civil War history book, a sci-fi adventure, or maybe even a children's book.
Every genre has the type of expected titles in each genre. A business book is going to use business-related words to describe things that describe the title. A children's book will have fanciful things and words and descriptions and so forth. A romance book will have double entendres in the title and the subtitle. And that's what, you know, that's how you know, in effect, what the book is about. It helps you.
Something I find interesting, Scott, and you do cover this in the book. Some authors will use common phrases or idioms, as you will.
I am all for idioms and cliches because what happens is that people will say, oh, I've heard about that book. They didn't hear about that book. They heard that cliche, okay? Or they heard the idiom. You know, don't cry over spilled milk, you know, is an idiom. I personally like cliches. In fact, I actually promoted a book about sports cliches, and it was terrific, and the media loved it. And, you know, who knew that the people would be interested in a book like that, you know, until you get out there and promote it. So, but you know, I love those types of books, and I love those types of examples, because when people hear about a book, they say they may not even know who they heard it from. They don't know if they heard it driving down the road in their car, that they heard that book was good. They don't remember if it was from a friend. They don't remember if it was from something they read online on Facebook. All they know is they heard that this was a good book. And a cliche or an idiom helps them remember the book to pass it along. And what this all is about is familiarity, okay, and word of mouth. So word of mouth sells books, and a good title will help sell the book.
You do have a list in the book, Scott. I remember Finders Keepers by Stephen King. I think you have a bunch more in there.
Yeah, Motor Mouth by Janet Ivanovich, Cry Baby by Gillian Flynn, Mirror Image by Sandra Brown. I mean, think about that, Mirror Image. These are all examples of idioms. Cut and Run by Abigail Rue, 50 Shades of Grey, E.L. James. Let's just ponder that for one moment, 50 Shades of Grey. It's a takeoff on Shades of Grey, okay, but it's 50 Shades of Grey, okay? What a great title. In Cold Blood. That murder was in cold blood. Yeah, that's a book by Truman Capote. When Pigs Fly. When Pigs Fly. I mean, people say this all the time. I'll do that when pigs fly. Hey, great title for a book by Bob Sanchez. Another one by Janet Ivanovich. She's good, good to use these idioms. It says, One for the Money. One for the Money by Janet Ivanovich. These are clever titles. I love them, okay? And they're picking up on a term that people have in their brain already, and they've heard before. So that's why they use them.
Scott, without giving up too much, because people are going to have to buy the book to find out a lot more about what you're talking about here, you do know the importance of using certain linguistical tricks when it comes to generating a memorable title.
Right. I like to use alliteration, and this is where you use the same letter of the first letter of the word more than one time and it's like the example is like Gone Girl, Angela's Ashes, The Two Towers, Black Beauty. I mean, those are examples of alliteration. And there's another one is from a friend of mine who wrote a book called Banjos, Boats, and Butt Dialing. Well, hey, it's kind of a memorable term, and everybody can relate to that. And it's perfect for this example of alliteration. So go buy his book, too, Banjos, Boats, and Butt Dialing by Mike Ball.
Funny thing about the book, Scott, and it's called Book Title Generator, a proven system in naming your book. It's not really just for writers of books, but for all sorts of creators, podcasters, radio program developers, people who hold events, people who lead workshops, marketers of all sorts. The title can make or break any of those projects.
Right. When you get into titling something, it's what people hear first. Okay. They might see something. They might see the title first. And certainly when they're reading, they're going to read it first. So it's important you catch their attention. One of the methods of all writers use that are good are writing first lines of the book that drag people in and make them want to read more. If your book starts out ho-hum, it's toast. So you've got to come up with a good, not only a good first line, but you've got to come up with a great title. And authors need to, good authors spend time on creating that title and creating that first line and drawing people in. You got to catch their attention. One of my clients was TV's Mr. Wizard. He was the science guy before Bill Nye, the science guy.
I remember Mr. Wizard.
He was terrific. I promoted his TV show on Nickelodeon a few years ago. That was a terrific show, and he taught me so much. But one of the things he always asked was, he asked me a question. He would, instead of giving a directive, he would ask me a question. It was also a technique he used in his TV show. And he'd ask the kid, he always had a kid on the show, and he would say, hey, Johnny, why is the sky blue? And the child would then respond, well, it's blue. You know, let me tell you why it's blue. And then he would go into the conversation, and he would help this child discover why the sky was blue. And a question causes someone to engage with people. If I ask you a question, your mind has to engage it, okay? And so that's why it's such a powerful tool. So using questions in a title is also a method and a technique as well.
Well, it's all about the eyeballs once again. We often joke about the social media clickbait articles that we see all over our news feeds, whether it be Twitter, LinkedIn, or even Facebook, of course. But a good instigator type, and that's what a question is, a good instigator type title often gets people to want to find out more. In one case, clicks. In one case, buy it at the bookstore or download it on Kindle.
Right. I'm a sucker for those clickbaits too, and I go, geez, why did I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, oh my God, this looks like a. What do you mean, so and so's dead? You know, the one that gets me is the one that says we're going to miss so and so, and it's like they're not dead, but they imply that person is. So you go, oh my God, I can't believe they died. It's like, no, he's not dead. You know, but it's part that they're playing on your emotions, they're playing on your you're being shocked that you think that some celebrity has passed. I'm not saying you should, you know, lie to people or imply the wrong thing, but I'm saying you can take a page out of the book of some of these clickbait because these guys are really good at writing headlines that make us want to click on them. Okay, it's the darnest thing. So instead of swearing at them, think about how you can learn from them.
We touched upon this earlier in the interview. People buy emotionally, so a title must evoke the emotion, or at least some kind of something inside their brains to want to be curious about the book, or want to pick it up, or want to buy it. It's not only the title, of course, the design of the cover, the thumbnail. All those things have to touch somebody emotionally to make them want to pick it up or download.
Correct. 100% correct. You've got to reach people. You got to get their attention. You can't sell somebody to something until you have their attention. Very important.
Scott Lorenz is with me on Book Spectrum, the book title generator, a proven system in naming your book. As a book publicist, you know what it takes to get attention to a written publication, Scott. And the title plays a huge role in helping pitch a book to not only readers, but producers of radio shows and magazine writers. And that's an important point you have to bring across to someone who presents their ideas to you, Scott.
Right. A title is critical. If the title doesn't work, then we've got to pitch the idea to the news media outlets and to catch people's attention. Because oftentimes, if the book is already titled by the time we get it, that we don't go with the title, we go with the startling statement that gets people's attention instead. So it's important to be able to have a book with the title that does the job. But if it doesn't, then you have to come up with a secondary position and promote that issue. And without naming clients' books and getting into trouble, I don't want to cite any examples. But we get the job done one way or the other, okay? But it would be easier if we had a title that really worked for people, frankly.
Let's get down to it, Scott. Let's offer two pieces of advice, one from me, one from you, to our listeners, to prospective authors who want to write a book. My piece of advice, pick up your book. Book title generator, a proven system in naming your book. How about you? What's the first thing besides that a prospective writer or somebody who has a book finished should do to think about his or her title?
Well, I think you really need to search it on Amazon and search it on Google and see who's reading a book in your genre. Do a real good in-depth study of the books that are out there in your genre, in that space, so that you know who your competition is and you know what they are saying. And there's also some tools I mentioned in the book that talk about specific piece of software that will actually help you come up with a title that's not been used, you know, 1,000 times before. And with a slight variation of the title name, you can find a book that actually is well-searched and is actually wanted by people in the marketplace. So that's what I would do first.
Scott Lorenz, thank you for being with us on Book Spectrum.
Thank you. Enjoy talking to you, Chris.
You can find out more about Scott, the book, as well on his website, booktitlegenerator.net. That's booktitlegenerator.net. The title of the book, of course, Book Title Generator, a proven system in naming your book. Perfect for authors of any genre and creators in a number of other fields. You can find a link to the book on our website, bookspectrum.com. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. Thank you for listening to Book Spectrum.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.